morning, everybody. Before we jump into the message today, I have an announcement to make, and I would like to congratulate Katie and Nathan, who are now wedded together. So we're just going to go ahead and jump into my message today. If you're new here to New Hope Christian Center, we do something a little bit different than a lot of churches. We actually preach the Word of God. And because I believe, we believe here that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And so oftentimes the Scriptures can be very divisive, and we do not shy away from any of those Scriptures because we believe that it is truth. It is God's truth. And God's truth trumps everyone else's truth. So we teach the Word of God. What you do with it is between you and Him. But I don't ever want to stand before God and give an account for someone that says, well, Pastor Jim or Pastor Henry or Pastor Aaron or Larry never told me the truth. Yeah, we do. And what you do with it is up to you. But I don't ever want to be held responsible for the loss of a soul because we neglected to preach the Word of God. So there you go. And speaking of the Scriptures, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So this is the parable of the lost sheep. And if I may, is it okay if I get a little bit real today? As a pastor, there are a lot of expectations placed upon you by other people. There are a lot of expectations placed upon myself by myself. And a week ago, after I had done the Passover Seder here and went home and took a two-hour nap, and then I got up, and Sunday afternoons are my time, unless the kids are coming over with the grandkids, it's my time to just kind of chill. The weather was pretty nice, so I went out by the fire pit, and that's my time of just talking to God. And I was struggling with something. And I was wondering, what's wrong with you? And the thing that I was struggling with was having compassion for certain people. Especially certain people who used to go to this church, have gone on to other churches, which is great. But who have left this place and badmouthed some other people that are still here. And who do not go to church anymore, who are not underneath a pastor, who are not being fed weekly and encouraged and lifted up. They've just completely walked away from church, from those who have loved them, and from God, and backstab. And we've had some people that have done that. And I was struggling with compassion. I was wondering, what is wrong with me? Because this is a lost sheep, is it not? According to the scriptures. Why don't I have compassion for this person? And I was struggling with that. As a pastor, especially, a pastor is a shepherd, correct? A shepherd looks after the flock. Why am I struggling like this? Why don't I care more? And that's not with everyone who has ever left this church. It's with a few. And I was struggling with that. In all churches, we have people that I like to call EGRs. Extra grace required. Joy gave me a little cartoon, and it's Jesus, and he's feeding the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves. And one person is in the crowd saying, "Do you have any gluten-free bread?" And another person is saying, "I don't like fish. Do you have any chicken?" Those are extra grace required people. And we are called to love them. And I was praying one time, and we had a couple of EGRs in the church, and we don't have any anymore, so just so you know. We had a few that I prayed Paul's prayer. "Lord, take this thorn in my flesh away." And I kept praying that. "Lord, take this thorn in my flesh away." This person was very difficult to love. Very difficult to love. And I just prayed one time. I says, "Lord, why? Why is it so difficult?" And his answer to me, I believe, was, "I bring people that bring joy into your life as a blessing to you. God will bring people into your lives that are an absolute joy and an absolute blessing to have around." And then he continued and he says, "I will bring difficult people into your life to teach you how to love more like my son." You see, we are to love like Jesus loved. Amen. Yeah. And it's not always easy. It is not always easy. And it's in those times, in those relationships, that we need to draw on his strength. Because we don't have the capacity in and of ourselves. We'd love to surround ourselves with people that we like. And not so much the people that we don't like. Well, God brings those people in so that you can learn to love like his son loved. His son was being crucified and nailed to a cross. And while they were running the nails through his ankles and his wrists, he was saying, "God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You see, he modeled for us how we are to love. And in and of ourselves, we don't have that capacity. But with the help of his Holy Spirit, we do. Amen. Amen? Amen? So I wanted to look into the scriptures. What is a lost sheep? What is a lost sheep that you have 99 that are not lost and one is lost and a good shepherd is supposed to go after the one? I think we need to define what a lost sheep is before we deduce what it is that we are to do with these lost sheep. So in Leviticus chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Now I know this is talking about God's commandments in Leviticus. It is talking about the law. And some people say, well, this does not pertain to today. It absolutely does pertain Because back then, God gave his people the law, and they were to follow the law. And if they didn't, then they need to make atonement or a payment for the sins. Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. So that those are not done with, and we don't have to worry about them anymore. Yeah, we do. Because there's this thing called sin. And when we sin, there is a restitution or a penalty that has to be paid. So this is what we're going to study here in Leviticus in 5 verses 17 to 19. It says, if anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though they do not know it, they are guilty and will be held responsible. You see, this is an offering that has to be made for sin that someone committed that they didn't even realize they committed. You see, when we sin and we're not even aware of it, we're still responsible. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have accepted the gift that he gave through grace, it's been paid. He paid for all our intentional sins and all of our unintentional sins. You are covered. But if you have not accepted his blood payment, you're still under the law and required to make a payment. Let's continue. They are to bring to the priest a guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect and of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the wrong they have committed unintentionally, and they will be forgiven. It is a guilt offering. They have been guilty of wrongdoing against the Lord. Oftentimes, lost sheep are not even aware that they are lost. They don't know it. And you can say, well, how can you hold them accountable for something that they're not aware of? It doesn't matter. A payment still must be paid. So even a lost sheep might not be aware that they are lost. Yet a payment still must be paid. There's been a penalty, and a payment must be made. All right, so a lost sheep is one who doesn't know that they're lost. That is one facet of being a lost sheep. Now let's go to Psalm 119, and we are going to stay in 119. So what I'm reading is from the same author, but he's got some interesting things to say. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 4. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 10, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And then we read from the very same author in verse 176. He says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. This author says this is how you are to live your life, by following God's commands and his statutes and his decrees. And then at the end, he says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. He hadn't forgotten the commands, but he had strayed from the truth. And what does he say? Seek me. Like a shepherd, seek me. See, oftentimes a lost sheep knows what is right, and they've kind of wandered from it. They've kind of strayed from it. And usually this straying or this wandering is something that happens over time. It's not an intentional straying or wandering. It just kind of happens when we become neglectful with our relationship with God. We become too busy. Life becomes more of a priority than gathering together or spending time with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Or they become more of a priority. It's interesting, if you've been around churches long enough, the attendance spikes in the fall. It goes up. Why does it go up? Because it went down in summertime. People are busy enjoying the weather, and that's okay. That is absolutely okay. But to wander for an extended period of time is not okay. It's not okay. So he has strayed like a lost sheep, and he says, "Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands, but I have strayed." Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." We're all guilty. We are all guilty of straying. Amen?
Amen.
I'm guilty, you're guilty, we're all guilty. And we have strayed. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at two different people in the scriptures. Lost sheep, if you were. And we're going to go to 2 Samuel, verse 12, 1 through 13. And this is a story of Nathan the prophet, and he goes to David, who is the king, and he confronts him about his sin. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, it drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for one who has come to him." David burned with anger against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. "I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." This is what the Lord says. "Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sins. You are not going to die." David was a lost sheep at that time. He knew God's word. He knew what was right and wrong. And when he was confronted with his sin, what did he do? He owned it and he repented. He owned it and he repented. That is why the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Not because he was such an amazing father or a husband or a king, but because when he sinned, he owned it and he repented of it. I like to refer to David as a nevertheless guy, Because when you read through the Psalms and the things that he said, he would write, and he was so real. That's what I love about it. He was so real. He was so raw. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they seem to get a hand up when the righteous are chased around and they're being killed and they're being persecuted? Why do you allow this to happen, God? And then he gets to the end and he always says, nevertheless, you are still my God. You see, God has big shoulders. And David was always real with God. He didn't candy coat it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He wanted God to smite his enemies. And he made it very clear. And he said, I don't understand, but nevertheless, you are still my God. Amen? Amen? All right, now we're going to take a look at another man in Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 17 and then going 19 to 22. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. In another one of the Gospels, it says he was a rich young ruler. He said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. It's interesting that, and I taught about this a couple months ago, it's interesting that we have this young man, and he says, what am I lacking to get into the kingdom of heaven? What am I missing here? And Jesus' response, he gives 6 of the 10 commandments. 6 of them. Do we have that slide? He says, honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or his goods. That is the list that Jesus gives him. You see, the Ten Commandments are actually divided into 2 separate parts. This is the civil laws. This is the laws between you and someone else. This is how you are to treat other people. And he says, I have done this since I was a child. What is he saying? I am a good person. How many times have you heard people say, I'm a good person? I deserve to go to heaven because I am a good person. I have kept these commandments. And he says, interestingly enough, what am I lacking? And then what is Jesus' response? Jesus says and puts his finger on the one thing that he knew he was not willing to give up, and that was his money. See, if we see the next 4, these are the commandments that Jesus did not say at first, but basically this is what he's saying now. You shall have no other gods before me. He had other gods before him. It was money. You shall have no idols before me or make a graven image. His wealth was a graven image. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. For if you've been around long enough, you've learned that it doesn't mean do not cuss. To take the name of the Lord in vain means to say, I belong to God's house, and then live your life however you want. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. Because you said I'm part of his household, but you're really not. That is speaking and saying, yes, he is my God. Jesus is my Lord, but not doing what he says. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain because it doesn't do you any good. So he is guilty of three of the four first commandments. And when Jesus confronts him and says, this is what you need to do. You need to work on the religious commandments. You're doing well with the civil ones, but you are not doing well with these four. And he says, what? He walks away sad. He's willing to do six of the commandments, but he's not willing to do the other four. And the other six commandments don't do you any good unless you are working on the four. Because then you're just going through the motions. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you are simply following the civil commandments and not the religious commandments. So there's a difference. The rich man has kept the six commandments, the civil laws, and he is basically declaring that he is a good person. So what's the difference between David and this rich young man? David, in his sin, had wandered away from God, and when he was confronted with truth, he repented. The rich young man, when confronted with the truth, walked away from Jesus. David was a lost sheep. The rich young man was not a lost sheep. He was a disobedient sheep. According to the scriptures, the good shepherd goes after lost sheep, but the good shepherd, Jesus, did not go after this disobedient sheep. Jesus let him walk away. He had presented him with truth. He had rejected that truth. And it says that Jesus loved him, but he did not go running after him. There's a difference. There is a difference. John 14, chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. It boils down to an obedient and contrite heart. When we reject God's ways, we are no longer a lost sheep, we are a disobedient sheep. And there are scriptures where sometimes the disobedient sheep are gone after. And there are other scriptures where the disobedient sheep are cast aside. Paul says, I have turned over, and he lists two men, and I have handed them over to the devil because of their disobedience. And his reasoning was, I'm hoping that because I withdraw my presence from their life, that they would repent. So I think what we have to do, I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You're going to get out early today, you peeps. Yeah, I did. This is what God revealed to me. That I believe that we have to take every incident, whether we're dealing with a lost sheep or we believe them to be a disobedient sheep, I believe that we need to go to him and ask whether or not we are to pursue that relationship or we are to are we to cut it off? I think we have to ask for discernment in the situation. Because sometimes going after disobedient sheep can be very detrimental to your spiritual health. And we need to make sure that we establish boundaries when we're dealing with that. And I'm talking about people who know better. People who know the truth, have turned from it, and are bitter and they're angry. When you hang around someone who is bitter and angry for any length of time, it's just a matter of time before that starts affecting your personality and your emotional state and your spiritual health. We need to be able to go to God and say, am I supposed to pursue this? Am I supposed to put boundaries around it? Or am I supposed to cut it off and walk away? And the problem is, sometimes there's guilt. I was feeling guilty because I was not allowing certain people who wanted to maintain a relationship with me, but they knew that they were living a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word. And I had to establish boundaries. You see, sometimes we don't have compassion because we're not supposed to have compassion. And that's okay. That is okay. We still love the person, but we need to stay healthy ourselves. And if we're supposed to go after, then ask God. And whatever you receive, be obedient in it. But if you're supposed to cut it off, ask God and be obedient in it. You see, we have all, like sheep, have gone astray. We're all guilty of that. And thank God for His mercy and His grace. Some people have a gift of compassion, and they have compassion to the ends of the earth. And it is a gift that God has given them. And if you have that, then you need to use that to your utmost. But don't beat yourself up if you know what you're doing is in God's will. Because sometimes cutting that person off is the best thing for them spiritually. So that then the Holy Spirit can work on them. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that's going to turn a person back to Himself. You see, we are called to sow seeds. We are called to water seeds. And only the Holy Spirit can make it grow. Sometimes we think that's our job too. I need to get this person saved. That's not your job. And if you think that, you're actually stepping on the toes of the Holy Spirit. Sow those seeds, water those seeds. But only God can make them grow. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, in everything, go to Him and ask Him how He wants you to handle it. And then be obedient. So how do we know? How do we know if we are lost or disobedient? This is not for you to project onto someone else. This is for you to say, how do I know if I'm lost? How do I know if I'm being disobedient? Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. You want to know where you're standing? Go to God's word, because it'll light your feet up and let you know right where you're at. It will light your path. So if you're wondering if you're standing somewhere or you're in a situation you're not supposed to be, get the word out and read it and it will let you know right where you're at. God's word reveals where we really are, not where we think we are. Did you get that? It will reveal the truth about where you're standing, because sometimes our truth doesn't align with His. But if you take out the word and you shine it on your, it lights up your path and lets you know right where you're at. Because sometimes we're standing in poop and we don't even know it. We go, what's that smell? I keep smelling a smell. And we keep walking through the poop. God's word will light your feet. And when it lights your feet, you look down and go, there's that smell. I've been walking in poop. I know that's a weird kind of picture. It just popped into my head. You're welcome. God's word will light your path and let you know right where you're at. And my prayer is that when you find yourself in that place where you ain't supposed to be, or you're wondering if you're going down the right path, when God reveals it to you through His truth, have the heart of David. Lord, forgive me for walking through this poop. Have a repentant heart, not a stubborn heart, not a disobedient heart. You see, God's word does not care what our Supreme Court has passed as law. God's word does not care what our governor passes as law. God's word doesn't care. This is truth. We live in a society, in a world now that says your truth is your truth, your truth is your truth, and they're both truth. Wrong. God's truth is never changing. It doesn't care whether you believe it. It doesn't care what you think about it. It never changes. It is the same yesterday, it is the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't care. But if you call yourself a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then what? And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Obedience to God's word. Is it going to make you perfect? No. You're going to slip up. You're going to step in poop. You're going to get messy. But you know what? Have the heart of David and repent and turn and follow Him. Amen? I don't know about you. Sometimes I get tired of walking through the poop. And God's tired of me walking through the poop too. And when I go to His word, it reveals where I really am. And God's like, I don't want you down there. I want you over here. Okay. You see, when we walk His path, He has set blessings up along the way. He's also set trials and tribulations up so that we can learn how to grow. But what He doesn't do is set up traps. That's the enemy's job. Sometimes we find ourselves in certain situations because we've been disobedient to God's will. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to keep you. Plans to not harm you. To guide you. He has a path for us to walk on. And that is the best path you can choose. Because when you're walking on your path, I guarantee you there you're going to go through a lot of things that God never wanted you to go through. He is a good father. Why would I tell my children to go down a path that would be harmful to them? I would not do that. But if they don't listen, guess what? You just got to be there to pick up the pieces. Have the heart of David, because we're all going to screw up. Amen? Some of us more than others. But God's word is never changing. It trains us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It encourages us to be more like His Son. Amen? Please stand.
What a great message. I know for me, even as a pastor, that message brings me clarity. Because as a youth pastor, we see students come and go, you know, all the time. And it's always a battle. And when do you chase after the ones that leave? When do you, you know, pursue the ones that leave? And that brought me a lot of clarity. And I admire Jim because he talks about stuff that he experiences, stuff that he knows. I'll tell you a quick story about one of his youthers who came to know Christ and then after a few months walked away. That was me. I was a lost sheep. I was disobedient. And I admire it because when I saw them, I graduated with his daughter, his oldest, and I would see them at sporting events, and I would just try to ignore them, just try to walk away, just try to, like, I'm not gonna talk to them because I don't want, you know, they know what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. But he always showed me love. He always showed me love. He wasn't banging down my door. He wasn't dragging me out of my house, dragging me to youth group. But when I would interact with him, he would always show me love. And that's the most important. And I think back to that time, if he was doing that, if he was texting me, if he was constantly trying to get in touch with me, it would have been a different story. It really would have been, because I was disobedient. You know, so it, you know, and I thank him for that. Because if he didn't show me love, who knows where I would be today. And that's the most important thing. Whether sheep are lost, whether they're disobedient, in all things, there must be love. So let's show love to those that are lost. Let's show love to those that are disobedient. But also, let's trust in God. Let's trust in His way. Because like Jim said, it doesn't matter. God is the one who brings the harvest. We are just called to plant and water the seeds. That's one of our mottos in youth group. We're just going to keep planting, keep planting, keep planting. And we're going to pray that God brings the harvest. Amen? Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would... that, Lord, you would make it clear to us when we are to chase after the lost sheep, Lord. That you would make it clear to us when we are to chase after those that have gone astray. And, Lord, help us to always to remember that you are ultimately the good shepherd. You are ultimately the one who cares for this flock, but we are but your hands and your feet, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that in our lives as we interact with those that have maybe gone astray or walked away from your path, that you would give us the words to say. Lord, help us to do all things in love. Lord, and I just thank you so much for this message. I thank you so much for this message that you laid on Pastor Jim's heart. And God, I just pray that he, that you would continue to lead him as he leads this church. And Lord, I pray that we would apply what we hear, Lord. Now it's our turn to apply what we hear today. Not just hear it. We don't want to just hear it, Lord, because if we just hear it and walk out of here and it doesn't change anything in our lives, then what's the point? Lord, help us to apply it today. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are, your goodness, all that you've done in our lives. Lord, as we like to say, if you never do another miracle in our life, the miracle of salvation is enough. Lord, it is enough, and we just thank you so much for that. And we pray all this in your Son's precious, precious name. Amen.